There was a couple guys played golf together all their lives. Maybe you heard this before, I don't know. But they're getting older, so they started to say, well, I wonder if there's golf in heaven. And so they decided, they agreed together that whoever went first would come back and tell the other one if there was golf in heaven. So eventually the one guy died, and he came back in the middle of the night and talked to his buddy, and he said, the guy says, okay, tell me, is there golf in heaven? He says, well, I got good news and bad news. And he says, what's the good news? He said, there's golf in heaven. Well, what's the bad news? You're teeing off in the morning. So that's... So, I don't know, that could be good and bad. But anyway, I wanted to do this on, I felt the Lord lead me to do Father's Day, more of a men's message, but naturally honoring fathers, honoring our Father God. So I have it kind of titled, Be Strong and Courageous. And that is out of Joshua 1:9. Whenever Joshua took over the leadership, and God said, be strong and courageous. And then a couple times he said, be strong and very courageous. And Joshua's kind of thinking, you're trying to tell me something, huh? That you're going to need this courage. But fortunately, you know, God was with him. We all know the story. So our God, our Father, created men as servant leaders. And, you know, if a kid's toy breaks, who fixes it? Dad. Most of the time, anyway. Who drives to the vacation spot or campground? Dad. Who teaches how to put up the tent? Dad. Who teaches how to play ball or to hunt? Dad. If there's trouble with a neighbor, who intervenes? Dad. You know, my dad's bigger than your dad, kind of a thing. Who shows a little girl that she's valued? Dad. Who shows a little boy what manhood looks like? Dad. What's a chief rules enforcer and disciplinarian? Dad. I got a story on that one from my own personal one. Who gives children their first idea of God as a father? Dad. Yeah, the chief rules enforcer. I remember one time when I was like 14, you know, starting to feel my teenage ridiculousness and mouthing off to mom. And then saw dad's car coming up the road, and boy, did I repent quick. All you had to do was see him coming home from work. Straightens you out real quick. And he's a good dad. He's still there. He's 92. Okay, we're made to be providers, protectors, encouragers, and to lead by example. That's pretty heavy. But, you know, fortunately with God as a Father, he leads us through. He's right there with us. He shows us how. If you don't have wisdom on something, the Lord says, ask for wisdom. And he doesn't find fault when he answers, you know. So it's a very good relationship that God has instituted for us. But our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, they have other plans. They're trying to create fear and discourage people. And from the beginning, they've been trying to thwart God's plan for men. Even back to the original man and his wife, how the devil snuck up on Eve and had Adam weaken, and you know what happened. And we've been, society has been paying for it ever since. But, you know, there's a much appreciation in this world in the turn of, no, much, yeah, wrong word, much opposition in the world in the turn of confusion and fear and never over what a man should be. If you watch the news, you know where our society is going and how, what's gender confusion? I mean, my goodness, isn't it kind of straightforward? You were born as a man or born as a woman. You know, I mean, it's, how can you mix that up? And they've got us figured out, you know, I don't know which bathroom to use. I don't know what, you know, come on. We've only got, you know, a few thousand years of precedent here. And the whole idea, you know, somebody like, you know, well, the one athlete that changed himself into a woman, quote unquote, you know, God looks at him, he's still a man. He's really messed up, but he's still a man. He's not, God doesn't change his view because we get our body all changed around and start wearing different clothes. So the whole idea of our society and doing this confusing, trying to confuse children and trying to, they want to tell people, now even they tell people that now they're going to have birth certificates that you got to wait till the kid gets to a certain age so they can decide what they are. And so this is a kind of culture that we are facing. And actually, there's nothing new. I mean, remember Sodom and Gomorrah. They were pretty messed up. I got to get my glasses out because... Yeah, many people don't know what manliness is. And they have it all... You know, if a man is a man, he's got to bust heads and he's got to rule his family with an iron fist and all this other stuff. And then the backlash comes where the man's supposed to be nice all the time and a real wimp. God didn't create either one of those. Manliness, you know, the Greek word for manliness is the same as the Greek word for courage. And courage is not the absence of fear, it's managing fear. So there's a good benchmark for us guys. Our society wants to bring fear. All these different things going on in our world. We don't know if we're going to get a nuclear bomb. We don't know if our jobs are going to be there. We don't know if a volcano is going to erupt and or an earthquake or whatever. There's so many things in this world, and the news loves to cover those things. Like, you know, you're all going to die, you're all going to die, you know. Global warming. Oh, boy. I have a brother-in-law on the left coast, and he's convinced that the ocean is rising. Okay. But anyhow, God didn't give us a spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7. Though God didn't give us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline. You know, strength is manliness is power with strength under control. You know, when, just get that picture of a real strong football player type guy holding a little baby, you know. He's got all kind of muscles and everything, but he's being gentle because he's got that strength under control. The world's in need of courageous men. We're in a spiritual war, and our enemy is ruthless. And that's one of the weaknesses I think culture has. We all think, well, if we're nice, he'll leave us alone. And he wants to just tear us apart. He shows his, through bringing fear, for bringing confusion into things, for stirring up and dividing families, dividing churches, dividing every way he can. And that's one of the things that the enemy uses to try to defeat. And it's up to the men, I think, as much as possible, it's up to the men first to confront that, because we're the protector and provider. One of the things that there's a whole war against Christianity in our culture. Have you noticed? My one brother-in-law out in the Seattle area was same one I was talking about there. He he was a teacher in probably school. Science class or something like that. But he, on his own time, on the weekend or whatever, on his vacation, took some kids from his church to in Africa for Ethiopia or somewhere for a mission trip. And when he came back, it wasn't long, got called into the principal's office and said, well, you're a great teacher. The kids love you, the parents love you, and all that stuff, but you can't work here anymore because you might start preaching creationism. So that's the kind of thing we are facing. And there's one in here my wife added about the, there was a fireman, nationally recognized fire chief in Atlanta, Georgia, found he needed more, even more courage when a gay individual learned that he had written a workbook for his church men's group. Oh my. One of the lessons dealt with marriage relations. So they started howling that it was discriminatory, and the city fired him, in spite of the fact that no one had any examples of his being discriminatory. It was a clear case of Christian persecution. We may see more of that, which is why we have to gear up and prepare ourselves. We don't war, Bill Johnson said, we don't war for a victory, we war from a victory. Talking about Jesus' victory on the cross. Victory is assured, but we got to do our part. Men can stand knowing that the victory has been won. And whenever, you know, men were created to be the head of the family, with headship comes responsibility. And I like to take words apart and change them around. So responsibility could be ability to respond. And how about the ability to respond with courage in the face of fear? Come on, that was good. But the ability to respond with courage in the face of fear. God has provided everything we need. That's out of 2 Peter 1:3. He provided everything we need to rule over and defeat the enemy. Our battle is spiritual. A lot of people have confusion. You know, you start talking warlike, and a lot of people think, oh, that's bad. But our war is spiritual. We aren't against people. We are against rulers and powers in the unseen world that are trying to get rid of our, to shut down what Jesus did, which will never happen, but anyway, in one of the things that God has provided, in Ephesians 6:17, I've got to get my thing here. Oh. Thank you. Yep. My lovely assistant. My lovely assistant there came over. But we are told, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's not our sword, it's the Spirit's sword. But we are told, commanded, to pick it up and use it. The sword is the Word of God. But if the Bible lays there, it's not effective until the Spirit comes and gives life to that sword. Then if we know how to use it, then that's when we get the victory. You can say we have a permit to carry. In fact, we have a mandate to carry. So, remember Dave and Goliath. Dave, his little rock didn't kill Goliath. His little rock surprised the heck out of Goliath, and he stumbled and fell. And then he took Goliath's sword. And after that, David never used a sling again. He had a sword. So the using Goliath's sword, like we are using the Spirit sword, brings victory. And our warfare must be intentional. If we don't know the sword and how to use the sword and have a relationship with the Spirit who owns the sword, how are we going to get victory? When Nehemiah was rebuilding the wall, this is out of Nehemiah 4:17 and 18 and verse 23, he says he had stationed people with tools in one hand and a sword in the other. And it said they carried their sword at their side even when they went to get water. They were always ready. Well, we can't drag one of these around all the time, but the sword should be in here, in our heart. Always ready. That'd be a good... Marie said, never give up, never give up. My thing might be, always ready. be, like my son used to say, beep repaired. He's here so I can embarrass him. Anyway, we should always have our sword ready, and I mean carry it in our hearts. And you're wondering why I put this stuff up here. Let's just say this is a door to your house. And if I got a wobble over here to the side. If our door to our house looks like that, empty, what do you think the enemy's going to do? Wahoo! I'm going in there. And what do you think the enemy's going to do whenever there's any opening, whether it's in our culture, our government, our media, you know, all those things, entertainment? The enemy's going to get in. So what they need, what the enemy needs to see is, just like Jesus saw in the desert, someone here, it is written. Oops. It's heavy. It is written. The word of God has authority, and authority is weight. So whenever Jesus was in the desert, he kept telling the devil, it's written, it's written, it's written. And God couldn't argue, the devil couldn't argue with him. In fact, he scampered off finally. Remember the seven sons of Sceva. This is a little bit different, another point here, but in Acts 19, 13 and 16, they were using the name of Jesus whom Paul preached, which tells you right there, they didn't know the name of Jesus in their heart. They heard about Jesus and they figured, well, that's a good incantation to use. And they were trying to deliver a guy from demon possession. And he ended up, let's just say it didn't end good for them. One guy beating up seven. Because they didn't have the word in their heart. They were just using what they thought would work. It won't go well with us either if we merely use the word without the relationship. The sword of the Lord, the sword of the Holy Spirit. I kind of like this thing. I got some grass that needs... never mind. Remember, we have a license to carry. Turn the page again. In a book that I like, a men's book, called Battle Ready by Steve Farrar, one of the best men's authors, it echoes 1 Corinthians 16:13. 4 points. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. And be strong. You know, we have... I don't want to perceive it getting too political, but China has been a kind of, let's just say they're not a real good friend, but this year now, they have two nicknames for our president. One is Donald the Strong, and the other one is the Great Commander. So we have beginning to get respect because God put Donald the Strong where he is. And God is leading Donald the Strong as the church continues to hold him up in prayer. We do have to do our part too. Okay, I'm off the political part. So for the application, how do we apply this to our daily lives? Especially since one of Father's duties is to help mold and equip the next generation. When we tell our kids, man up, do they know what we're talking about? Or do they say, what's that? What do they see as a model? One of the things we need to do is get off the, I have quote unquote, mule of pride. Male, you know, if you're a guy, I'm a guy, so I'm talking about guys. We have this male pride thing where we don't want to look like we're weak. We don't want to look like we're hurt or any of that stuff. But, you know, and a lot of guys think if I apologize, then I'm weak. But actually, if you apologize for something you did, you're strong. So get off the mule of male pride and offer a sincere apology when we are wrong. Not for whatever I did or if I've done anything. There's a specific, you knew you did it. Tell your kid, okay, I did this. It hurt you. I'm sorry. And I still love you. And you expect nothing in return, because sometimes they have to work it out on their own. Depends on the severity of. But if you make a habit of it, if every time you go, you know, and I'm not talking about discipline. Kids need discipline, but you got to do it the right way. But if you make a habit of whenever you step in it, just say, tell them, you know, hey, I stepped in it, you know. Then they know then what humility looks like. And they know what manhood looks like. That makes it easier for our kids to honor us, which is one of the Ten Commandments. A couple examples from our personal lives. My wife's dad, they were coming, this is years ago when there was only four kids, and their family ended up having six, but her one brother had asthma real bad, and they ended up, you know, the doctor said, if you don't get to a dry climate, you're going to lose them. So they packed up and went to Arizona. Well, they didn't like it there because you couldn't even touch the door handles on the car. They were used to Pennsylvania. So they heard about Colorado Springs, and they thought, that'd be a good place to go. So they were driving, and this, Jan said, this reminded me, this is back whenever there was no big interstate highway, no cell phones, none of this stuff. And her dad looked on the map, and there was a shorter way to go over the mountains to get from one place to the other, which was a gravel road with no guardrails and all that kind of stuff. And so much cause for fear, especially among the kids. And whenever they got to like the halfway point, there was kind of a plateau there so they could safely pull off. And he led them out to look at the game out there, the mountain goats and things like that, and antelope, and took a bunch of pictures. And they just made it fun to take that fear away from his family. And nobody knows, but I would bet you he wasn't free of fear himself. Because when you got a big travel trailer and you're going across a gravel road in the mountains with no guardrails, I mean, just because you're macho doesn't mean you don't a little bit scared, you know? John Wayne said, courage is being scared to death and saddling up anyway. So, he showed that it's manly to control fear and make life fun. My dad, when I was accidentally, a certain age, I was fairly young yet, but I was using his garden tractor and going around plowing gardens for people for a little money in the summertime. And I was up at one of the neighbors, and they were putting a lawn in, so they wanted me to come up and use the discs. You know, a lot of you know what discs are, to kind of start loosen up the dirt. So I was doing that, and I was just about done, and I went around the corner of the house, and here the disc cut is aluminum siding. And I didn't know nothing about, you know, repairing aluminum siding or anything. I was really, needless to say, it was not a good day. But my dad went up, helped the neighbor fix the damage, made things right, showing me that it's manly to make things right. So as we remember whose sword this is, and as we remember, we're supposed to have use of it. That's puts a mandate on us to how do we use it right. So as we go forward, I thank God for fathers who take their position seriously. And I know, you know, I'm preaching to the choir again, but you take your position seriously because you know the young ones are worth investing in and protecting and providing for and training. I thank God for being our perfect Heavenly Father who we can always count on in any situation, who knows us and loves us anyway. So, at the conclusion of this, I wanted to, you know, we usually have gifts for the fathers, and something a little different this year. Yeah, that thing. Something a little different this year, and it might seem like an odd gift for fathers, but really, a lot of fathers have invested in these. These are not only symbol of America, but their America was founded on freedom of worship. So there's a big meaning in these that a lot of men have died for and been messed up for life for. So I don't know. I guess I felt 4th of July is coming up. Guys might need a couple of these. So we've got these, and I've got I tried to get a little kind of a pocket tool, and it fell on the floor, and I was kind of disappointed in it because on the internet it looked a lot bigger, but it's something you can put in your pocket and you can find a use for it one. So what I want to do, something a little different today, I'm always different. Like for the men to come around, I'm going to give you each one of these, and I want to shake your hand and put a blessing on you. And I'd like to start with our fearless leader, Pastor Steve. The next in line is Joe James, and if you're a veteran, you line up behind Joe. So. I gotta get this thing out here. So, I just thank you for for your leadership and for your inspiration.
Thank you.
My lovely assistant will hand you one of the little tiny tools.
Okay.
Thank you, Joe, for your service and for everything you put up with. Just for being here so regularly. Fine. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm glad you're here. God bless you.
Thank you.
And we got other guys. There's other guys here.
Another guy.
And other guys are here. appreciate you, brother. I'm a little wobbly here. God bless you. Appreciate you. Glad you're here.
Thank you.
You know I'm glad you're here. God bless you. God bless you, Tim. Glad you're here. Stanley.
Hey, God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you for the message.
Glad you're here. Aha. Uh-huh. Jason. God bless you, brother. Like it or not, you get a tool. God bless you. Glad you're here, Earl.
Thank you.
God bless you, Ray.
Thank you. Wasn't a veteran, but I had three brothers that were. So.
Yeah. Well, it didn't have to be a veteran. I mean, I just wanted the veterans to be first.
Yeah.
I see a couple more over there. You deciding if you're a man or not over there? don't have to be a father, you know. This is a men's thing. Yeah. Appreciate you. This little guy here is my boy, so.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
God bless you. I'm glad you're here. Hey.
Hey.
Glad to be here.
Same
God bless
thing.
You. What's that? I didn't hear what.
Dougie, did you get your flag?
God bless you, brother.
Thank you.
Where's Seven?
I don't know.
He's being a brat today. Can you get that?
That's for his
okay. He worked.
Okay. Did we get everybody? I guess we did. So, I appreciate everybody being here, and I just bless you in the name of Jesus. I pray for a good week. For each one, if you ever want to have a bad week, just preach a sermon ahead of time. The enemy lets you know he's there, and but we shall overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So, thank you.